In Ptolemy's model, 8 rotating spheres surrounded the Earth. Each sphere was successively larger than the one before it, something like a Russian nesting doll. The Earth was at the center of the spheres. What lay beyond that last sphere was never made very clear, but it certainly was not part of mankind's observable universe. Thus, the outermost sphere was a kind of boundary or container for the universe. The stars occupied fixed positions on that sphere, so when it rotated, the stars stayed in the same positions relative to each other and rotated together, as a group, across the sky, just as we observe. The inner spheres carried the planets. These were not fixed to their respective spheres as the stars were, but moved upon their spheres in small circles called epicycles. As the planetary spheres rotated and the planets themselves moved upon their spheres, the paths they took relative to the Earth were complex ones. In this way, Ptolemy was able to account for the fact that the observed paths of the planets were much more complicated than simple circles across the sky. Ptolemy's model provided a fairly accurate system for predicting the positions of heavenly bodies in the sky. But in order to predict these positions correctly, Ptolemy had to make an assumption that the moon followed a path that sometimes brought it twice as close to the Earth as at other times. And that meant that the moon ought sometimes to appear twice as big as at other times. Ptolemy recognized this flaw, but nevertheless, his model was generally, although not universally, accepted. It was adopted by the Christian Church as the picture of the universe that was in accordance with Scripture, for it had the great advantage that it left lots of room outside the sphere of fixed stars for heaven and hell. Another model, however, was proposed in 1514 by a Polish priest, Nicolaus Copernicus. At first, perhaps for fear of being branded a heretic by his church, Copernicus circulated his model anonymously. Copernicus had the revolutionary idea that not all heavenly bodies must orbit the Earth. In fact, his idea was that the sun was stationary at the center of the solar system, and that the Earth and planets moved in circular orbits around the sun. Like Ptolemy's model, Copernicus's model worked well, but it did not perfectly match observation. Since it was much simpler than Ptolemy's model, though, one might have expected people to embrace it. Yet nearly a century passed before this idea was taken seriously. Then two astronomers, the German Johannes Kepler and the Italian Galileo Galilei, started publicly to support the Copernican theory. In 1609, Galileo started observing the night sky with a telescope, which had just been invented. When he looked at the planet Jupiter, Galileo found that it was accompanied by several small satellites, or moons, that orbited around it. This implied that everything did not have to orbit directly around the Earth, as Aristotle and Ptolemy had thought. At the same time, Kepler improved Copernicus's theory, suggesting that the planets move not in circles, but in ellipses. With this change, the predictions of the theory suddenly matched the observations. These events were the death blows to Ptolemy's model.